Well, we've got a couple of readings for this morning that Paul's going to come and speak from. The first one is from Ephesians 5, verse 25, and it says this: Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then our second one is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 3 to 7. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
So good morning, I'm Paul Timmins, member of this church, and I'm going to talk briefly about why Father's Day is a time that we can learn to role model the love that Jesus has for us, regardless of who we are and what experiences we've had of fathers in our own lives. I'm going to need you all to smile at me, because when I talk, I tend to frown, I tend to look quite stern. So if you're smiling at me, hopefully I'll be smiling back at you, okay? Make sure this is switched on. All right, lovely. Okay, so Father's Day. Nick's alluded to some of this already this morning in what he's been talking about, but it can be a difficult day for people, and certainly for me sometimes it's a difficult day. Whilst we can celebrate the wonders of fatherhood, it can also be painful. Now, my own father, my birth father, died when I was 10, and I still miss him to this day. And sometimes Father's Day can be a reminder of that loss. There'll be others here today that will no doubt be feeling that Father's Day isn't to be celebrated either. It might be because of some personal experiences of a father figure, or the absence of the father, or that you desperately want to be a father but can't, and I've been there as well. But it's okay to feel like that, because today I'm going to focus on how, despite all of those personal experiences, and sometimes because of those personal experiences, we can be good role models, and that we can have a Father in heaven who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So I want to introduce you to a few people. So, firstly, that handsome young man is Peter. He was my dad, who passed away about 40 years ago. But he showed me the love of a father from a very early age and the importance of caring for others. Next, that's my father, who's been my father for the last 40 years, Chris, and he sat over there. And he's shown me love without wanting anything in return, and how to persevere. And I just want to say publicly, Chris, here in front of everybody, just thank you for being my dad. It means so much to me. Next, some of you may recognize this man. This is Derek. He was my pastor 25 years ago in this church. And he showed me how to care for others when it was really difficult to. He did a good pastor's job. And finally, it's Jesus, who's my saviour, who has shown me perfect love that encompasses everything. And I'll talk more about him later. But I love this picture, because whilst it shows Jesus on a cross, and we know that when Jesus was on the cross, he was going through a lot of pain, a lot of anguish. He was sorting all of the world's problems out whilst on that cross. He's also looking up to his Father in heaven, and he's remaining focused on God. And that's something I want us all to take away with. Just keep focused on God. So, these four men are all role models for me. They've each taught me something as a child and then as a man: how to love, how to care for others, how to be a loving father, husband, brother, son, uncle, friend, and work colleague. And today I want to focus on Jesus. He is the teacher and role model we can all learn from, no matter what our lives have been like. Jesus is constant. He doesn't fit in and out of our lives. He doesn't judge us, doesn't hurt us. He's always available to talk to, will always listen to us, and will gently guide us through our lives. Jesus emphasizes love as a foundation of a fulfilling life. He teaches love of God. He teaches love for one another, even love for our enemies. This love is demonstrated through acts of service, compassion, and sacrifice. So, how do we learn to love and care for others? Usually through role models. People we experience through our lives who can impact how we behave and influence and how we feel. Role models can literally be anyone or anything that draws our attention. They can be parents, siblings, friends, pop stars, teachers, someone on the end of a phone. It can be anybody or anything. We can be role models to the people around us, and this is why I'm talking about what I'm talking today, because we all have an ability and a responsibility to do this. So we can be the role models that other people need in their lives. We, by nature, need to follow an example. So why is it important that we model what Jesus does for others? Well, have you considered to stop and think what the alternatives could be? There's plenty of alternative role models out there. If we don't demonstrate positive role modelling, those looking for a role model, will turn to others. Perhaps people like Andrew Tate. Now, he is not a very nice man. He believes women are servants of men, and he pushes a self-first agenda and a really toxic masculinity message. But there are loads and loads and loads, particularly of young men and young children, that will follow him and listen to what he has to say, because he's filling a gap. Oh, go back one. Then there are other online influencers who preach the self-help and get-rich-quick ideology to promote self against all others. Or there's the abuser, who is still giving an attention to an individual, even if it's damaging them. All of these can be really bad role models for people. But we here today, and this is a challenge for us all, we can step up and fill that gap for those around us. So how do we do that? Well, the Bible is really, really helpful in considering this. And we heard a couple of passages at the beginning, which I'll focus on a little bit more now. Firstly, the importance of loving others and what that love is. So, Jesus teaches that love is above everything. In the passage that we heard about there, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I gave everything to have to the poor, even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it's been wronged. It is never glad about justice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, always hopeful, and endures in every circumstance. That is a challenge and a half, isn't it? To try and measure up to that. But we can do this, and with my policing background that I've now left behind, I was really, really used to doing development plans and developing myself, developing people around me, supporting people. And we can maybe use this list as a bit of a development plan. Let's look at some of the things we can start to continue to do against this to be more successful at this. So firstly, love is patient and kind. I can get really impatient at times. And in those situations, I really should take a moment, step back and ask myself, what's causing me to be impatient? I've done that a few times, maybe not enough. But the answer usually is because something is being done not how I would do it. I'm a bit of a control freak. My own pridefulness is kicking in because I know better. Except I don't. I don't know the details of why somebody's doing something different to me. I don't know what led them to this point. I don't know what the motivations of their heart is. I'm making assumptions. Instead, I should pause, show a bit of kindness, and place a loving arm around that person. The second one, love is not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Our mouths can be the most hurtful weapons we have. We will each remember criticism, name-calling, bullying that we've suffered through our lives, and we also have a knack of then repeating that to others. We've got to stop. I've got to support, inspire, and use encouraging words, because those experiences will live much longer in the memories of others and will have a positive effect on behaviour for both ourselves and others around us. Love does not demand its own way. We all have our own ideas of what our lives should be like. Some of it is good, and some of it maybe not so good. But it comes from a place where we really don't have an awful lot of context or detail in the whole grand scheme of things. We often only want to see what we want to see, and we don't get what the bigger picture is and where we fit in. But God, he sees everything. He knows everything. He knows what eternity is and our place within it. So let's trust him and love without demand. Go his way, not our own. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it's been wronged. Who remembers when they've been wronged? I do. I'll often think, that's not right, and then I'll get on my high horse and then I'll start telling everybody around me how wronged I've been. But resentment builds, and it becomes a cancer, and it can eat away at the inside until all you can see is that wrongdoing. It hurts you, and it takes away your love. So we've got to try and remove that. We've got to try to forgive. It's not for us to decide the judgment of others, only to love and to tell the truth. This burden can be so heavy, but once released through forgiveness, it can literally change your life. Love is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. There is so much injustice around us, in this building, out there on the streets, in the world around us. We have a responsibility to do something about it. We don't just sit and talk about it, we do something. We can do physical acts like going to places and helping those in need, and there's plenty of people in need right outside our front door here. But we can also pray about those situations, and we can ask for justice to win. We can ask for God to tell us and show us what we can do. And love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Encouragement, support, listening to others. These are ways of not giving up, of not losing faith, being hopeful and of enduring. And we should do this in every circumstance. We do have a habit, and I certainly have a habit, of picking and choosing the circumstances that I want to be supportive to people. But the Bible tells us that we should do this in every circumstance. So it's not just the places and times and people that we think are going to be straightforward. In fact, it's probably the reverse. It's the most difficult times that we've really got to remember this. So God gives us our knowledge. He gives us insight, and he gives us compassion when we ask for it. We are not alone in this. So looking back at that list, I know, and I'll speak for myself, but I dare say most people probably agree with me on this, I am never going to be perfect against that, but I can check myself against that on a daily basis. And when I fail, and I will, you only need to ask my children, because I'll probably fail most days at one part of this or another, we can ask for forgiveness and we can start again. Because you see, God has also given us grace, and that is a blessing to us, that no matter every time we fail, every time we fall down, he will pick us back up and he'll still love us the same, and we can move forward. So we can strive to become better and better at this and role model this through our actions and through our actions of our heart. It's so important. And the second theme, and it comes up, there we go, is valuing everyone. God values each of us as one of his children, every single person in this world, without exception. Every single person, even Andrew Tate, is a child of God. God loves him. God loves us. He allowed his only son, Jesus, to step into the gap that was created by all of our sin and wrongdoing, and to bridge that gap by paying the price of all of our sin. You see, God loves us more than anything. He wants to be with us, and he wants us to be with him. And he provided a foolproof way through accepting his son, Jesus, as the one who has cleared that debt that we've built up through our own selfishness, hatred, and unforgiveness. There is no other way of releasing us from that burden that we've put ourselves under. So let's look at others through the eyes of God. Everyone has value. Everyone is a child of God. Everyone is loved. This Father's Day, use it as an opportunity to remind ourselves what love really is and develop our behaviour so we can be more positive and loving and caring to those around us. So we can role model this every single day to those around us. And we can also look to others around us to see that role modelling ourselves. So please take up this challenge of firstly, loving others and then valuing everyone. You see what I've done there? Okay, so the four people I introduced at the beginning have each demonstrated some of what I've talked about today. And when I was thinking about this, they were the people that came to my mind first about who have been positive role models in my life. But Jesus is the one that demonstrates every single part of that because it's him. That's who I follow. He is the ultimate role model and he will help all of us become positive role models for others. So if this has sparked anything in you this morning, please do come see, speak to me afterwards. I'll be either behind there or over there. Or a member of the worship band or another member of the leadership. We have people who are happy to pray with you afterwards as well, and we can pray here or in private. But please don't walk away thinking, I wish I'd asked that question. I'm going to be hanging around at the back afterwards, so please come and have a chat. And thank you for listening. Kids, thank you for being so well behaved. Credit to your parents.